Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to have you with us for this interview with our guest today, Amanda Zwengut. Oh, I had it so good and then I messed it up. Zwengzinger. And we're going to be talking about the paralyzed movement, how to find freedom, peace, and joy in what, regardless of your circumstances. Our guest today, Amanda, is the author of the book called Paralyzed Movement. And we're going to be talking about the God view that equips you to reframe paralyzing thoughts, who's standing with you and who to stand against, how to analyze thoughts, situations, and seeming impossibilities, how to move beyond analysis paralysis, how to refocus your focus, how to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and to step into the freedom available to you now. Also, how to start moving again. Amanda is an inspirational and impactful speaker who leverages stories of powerful transformations and fulfilled dreams to motivate changes in work, faith, and life. You can achieve your God-given goals and learn more about her over at AmandaMotivates.com. And you can also invite Amanda to speak via WomenSpeakers.com. I'm super excited to have you with us this afternoon, Amanda. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm super excited to be here with you today.
You know, this book that you wrote, The Paralyzed Movement, it comes out of a real paralysis story.
It does.
Give us a little background.
Yeah. So my husband, he was actually my fiance at the time, was in a four-wheeler accident. He actually had his daughter on the back of the four-wheeler and coming home from picking her up, and a deer jumped out and sent them really flying into the ditch. And she fortunately only had a bruise, although she'll joke with you and say she has the emotional scars. And then he suffered a spinal cord injury. He had a broken neck, his C6 shattered all over his spinal cord. Oh. And he was fully paralyzed on the right side of his body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the journey of this book really started then, and I didn't know it. I was on the way to the hospital. A friend was driving me as he was being life flighted. And I was praying. And I mean, I was trembling with fear, as you can imagine. And I was praying. And God laid on my heart, he will be healed. And just over and over again, it just was on repeat. And it, I mean, my body just stilled. And that ended up being a promise that we carried throughout that journey with my husband. We gave it to him as just encouragement through his journey, but also for our family to be encouraged. And it would have been about 4 days into being fully paralyzed, having no movement. He was suffering from trembling anxiety. And I ended up sharing with him a verse that helped me in my years of having trembling and anxiety. And what I didn't realize at the time was years of paralysis myself. But I shared with him that verse, and he just closed his eyes and prayed. And we watched his body still. And the convulsions never returned. And within the hour, his toes started to wiggle. His foot started to move that night. The next day, he was kicking us with his leg. And then fast forward 6 days later, he was walking down the hallway with a walker, unassisted, dancing a little jig. Wow. And his physical therapist indicated she's been doing it for 35 years and she'd never, ever seen a recovery like it, that it was a true miracle. And it wouldn't be until a year later, as I was kind of analyzing what I wanted to do with my life, I had no intention to kind of start a women's ministry. I did not grow up, you know, going to church. I do not have a seminary degree. I'm not, other than my own biblical journey, that's the extent of it. And during some time that I spent with God in just prayer, I asked God what I needed to do with my life. And he said this, and I thought he was nuts. I argued with him. And I'm like, not me. I am not the girl you want. And it was a few weeks later where he really revealed this connection between how paralyzed I was, in some difficult situations in my life and just living a life that wasn't truly who I was created to be. And how when I put my trust in him and when I went on a journey with him to overcome it, I overcame what I thought was next to impossible to ever overcome. And I saw this connection between that and my husband's journey and what we learned through the recovery of physical paralysis.
Yeah. And there is such a correlation there. And I think that one of the things that's bubbling to my head right now, and we'll talk more about this as we go along, but I think that there is so much hope, even if you are paralyzed and stay paralyzed in a certain area of your life, that there is still hope for you, that like God has other things that are working around that area of paralysis. It's like, he's not limited even when you're limited.
Right. It's yeah. Absolutely true. And, you know, I turn the phrase impossible is possible upside down in the book, because if you really truly look at the full span of that verse, you know, it says with God, all things are possible. But before that, it says, humanly speaking, it's impossible. Right. And it really is saying that impossible is a human invented word. It does not exist in God's world. So when you say impossible is possible, it still has this possibility of impossibility to exist. And it's not. We should remove it from our lexicon. It is a word that should cease to exist. And, you know, being able to see my husband's recovery and what we thought was going to be impossible. He not only was walking down the hallway dancing a jig 6 days later, but when he got out of the rehabilitation hospital, he walked down the aisle with me. And that was something that we thought we would lose.
Right. So. Absolutely. I do a mission vision training over at Marnie.com, and the banner for that has the word impossible and it's crossed out. It's the I am. But I realized too that God's name is I am.
Yes.
And he's the one that makes it possible.
Absolutely.
That's such an important word. So, what's the God view that equips you to reframe paralyzing thoughts?
So this is really the first framework that I felt God like relayed to me as far as this connection and how we overcome physical paralysis versus what I call it psychological paralysis, but that really is combining spiritual, mental, emotional all into one bucket, because we personally battle things psychologically for a lot of the areas of our lives. So when you look at somebody who's overcoming physical paralysis, it all comes down to having an open and working communication channel within you. Your heart has to be sending the right, you know, blood through your body. It has to be functioning correct. It has to have the right passion. Your mind has to be receiving and sending the appropriate signals. And then your communication channels within have to respond accordingly and to walk. And when you think about your faith walk, the reason people are paralyzed psychologically is typically because they haven't invited somebody else into helping them move from that. And when you think about taking that same philosophy of how you overcome physical paralysis, that open and working communication channel, and you insert God into the picture, you insert having Jesus in your heart, you insert having spiritual hydration in your mind. You know, those signals that are coming and going are coming from truth. And then that's what transcends within you. That's how you respond from a communication standpoint within. And then it's also about the communication with him up above. And when we have, what I say, rehabilitated those areas. So if we're not fully engaging God in each of those areas of our lives, then we have trouble moving forward. So the more we can heal and rehabilitate our hearts with God, our minds with God, and what I say, our roots with God, that's when we have the opportunity to overcome those paralyzing thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about who's standing with you and who you need to stand against.
So this really, really comes down to, you know, when you think about the communications, it really is signals. And when you think about the signals that you want to be receiving, you know, God is ultimately the one standing there with us, you know, no matter what, we can count on him being by our side. But when we have that spiritual dehydration, so to speak, then that's when we make room for the enemy. And that's who we need to stand against. And really the only way that we can combat that is by being able to be in the word, being able to surround ourselves with people of faith that can help us. You know, I did not grow up in the church, and I can remember people specifically telling me that thought you're having there, that's not from God. And for me, not being spiritually mature, I didn't recognize that. And so having people surround you and standing with you that are spiritually mature, I think is important.
Right. And to recognize that there is somebody that's really going to, we do have an enemy that's really going to try to get us to not receive the full grace that God is extending to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How do you recommend analyzing then our thoughts, situations, and even the seeming impossibilities?
So one of my favorite tests, I call it truth, fact, lie. In my workshops, we sometimes do this as a game show. if I can get several churches have done it, but it's where they actually have people kind of perform a game show. But truth, fact, lie is really about taking thoughts. And this was a game changer for me when it came to my anxiety. And I'm telling you, if you looked at where I was and where I am today, it's not from medication, and I'm not downplaying medication at all, because I do think that's important in many situations. But for me, the big difference maker was eliminating these impending doom and these irrational thoughts that would constantly surface in my mind. And the way I was able to do that was to ask myself, is this coming from truth? So is there anything that biblically can support this thought that I'm having? If not, then ask myself, is it based on fact? You know, is there something that I can factually say is supporting it? And if not, then I can dismiss this as a lie. This is a paralyzing thought that I need to remove from my life. That's one way. You know, I think other ways are just to, one of the tests that I do have in the book is, I call it the fruit of the spirit test. And it's to just go and analyze your life and look at each of the fruit and ask yourself, am I experiencing this fruit or not? And if not, what specifically is preventing me from experiencing this fruit? Then you're able to really recognize what those thoughts and situations are that are keeping you paralyzed and creating those impossibility, that impossible mindset that we so often can have.
Yeah, I have a wealth roster that I share freely at marnie.com, and it's about so here's the situation that I'm facing, or the prayer request I have, or the need that I feel, or whatever. And then in the middle it goes, which of these fruit, if God said yes right now, which of these fruit would be evident? If God said no or wait, which of these fruit would be evident? And what we find is, when we go through this like this, is that God is accomplishing things through yeses, waits, nos, and right nows. He's working through it all. And so it's our question, which of the fruit am I going to, you know, receive right now for just walking with Jesus? And, you know, you keep coming back to this. It's the relationship with Jesus, the truth. He is the truth. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And when we have that relationship with him, when we can come to him seeking truth, that's where we get so much relief from what otherwise is absolutely crushing, paralyzing. You know, just so we see things so hopelessly, but God does not see things hopelessly.
No, not at
when
all.
When we're there, it's like, no, I'm not seeing the things the way he's seeing.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes we also need to recognize, we can kind of focus on, when we're talking about paralysis, focus on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of us who have really determined that other people surrounding us that we love have something impossible to overcome. We kind of write off their ability to overcome that as an impossibility. And if we don't just like look at ourselves, but we take this mindset and we look at the people who are struggling that are in front of us and recognize that there is an opportunity for them to overcome that, what possibilities open up for that individual because your mindset has changed about their circumstance?
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think it's so important to believe that people can change. It's important for me to believe that God can change me.
Yeah.
And I think we can't give away something we don't have. If you believe God cannot change you, that you are stuck just the way you are for the rest of your life on planet Earth, then you're not going to be able to believe the people around you can be changed either.
Yep.
You know, so we have to believe it first for ourselves, and then we can share that belief with others and,
yeah,
and attach it to how we see them and how we hope for them going forward. You talk about paralysis analysis.
I do. The opposite of analysis paralysis is paralysis analysis. And this really stems from taking the time to really ask ourselves where we're stuck. And I, you know, I'll do some exercises during my workshop to help kind of start digging into that. And the book also covers one of them, and I call it the porch exercise. Mm-hmm. And it really stems from, you know, we kind of live in these homes where we have our shade shut tight and the darkness of our lives is not for anybody to see. And so the porch exercise is just about stepping out on the front porch. We're not broadcasting it to anybody. We're just shedding a little light on it for our own sake. And it's really an acronym. It's about looking at our pasts and what we're holding on to from the past that we should let go. Looking at ourselves, that's really our behaviors. Looking at our relationships. Are they severed? Is there forgiveness that needs to take place? Looking at choices that we're making. Are they healthy or not? And then lastly, looking at our health. And if you kind of take time to analyze the paralysis in each of those areas, it's really easy when we talk about paralysis for us to pick that one big thing that's weighing us down. But when you sit down and you kind of go through that exercise and you're looking in each of those areas, you start to identify a whole lot more, big or small, that might be, you know, holding us back. The ultimate goal of analyzing our paralysis is so that we stop consuming our heart and our mind on things that are not what God intends for us. We all have a purpose. We all have a spiritual gift that's intended to be used. And if we are paralyzed in certain areas of our lives, we can't give fully that purpose. And so sitting down and doing that paralysis analysis is important for us to be on mission for God ultimately. And so whether it be that test or this fruit of the spirit test or, you know, and I like to joke with people, it's not big or small. My husband, I joke with him that he's paralyzed with having no patience for left lane drivers. It puts him in a bad mood. It ruins his day. So we also have to look at those things that just steal our joy. It's not right. Just about like, what's the big heavy thing? What is stealing our joy that we need to change in our life?
Mm-hmm. As you were talking, I was thinking back to the paralysis analogy that you're kind of using in your book and as you're doing this teaching, and how there's many, many cells and different connective tissues that need to actually fire simultaneously for movement to happen.
Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And how you flipped that from an analysis paralysis to paralysis analysis. I love how you did that.
Now, I suffer from analysis paralysis, too. I will tell you that, which, you know, interesting enough, Marnie, just as a side note, part of this journey that I was on in getting, it took me 5 years to write this book. Uh-huh. And part of it is because of analysis paralysis. Uh-huh. And what was the way I was able to come over that hurdle was I started giving my everyday to God. So sitting down and rather than me being the boss of myself, yeah, and getting this book done, I was like, God, just tell me what task you want me to do today. Yep. Otherwise, I'd spin my wheels for hours on end. And once I started asking for that direction, it felt like he wasn't giving me enough to do in the day, but I was abundantly more successful in tackling things. And so analysis paralysis is a good thing to overcome too.
You bet. And I know for me, I've done that for a long time. When COVID hit, I did it at a whole new level where I was like, okay, God, what are we doing today? Because my world, and a lot of speakers and planners get this, my world is turned upside down. And So it's like, I have no idea what the priorities should be now. I knew what they should be yesterday, but now I don't.
Yep. So, exactly.
So how do we refocus our focus?
So refocusing our focus, there's multiple steps in this process, but the one that I like to speak most about is removing distractions from our lives. I think it was Time Magazine recently did a study and determined that since the smart devices were introduced into the world, our attention span has reduced to be less than that of a goldfish. That's really bad. And as much as, you know, our devices and social media and all those things can be important to our businesses, it can be important to, delivering spiritual messages, there's also got to be a point too where we check ourselves and use less of the distractions so that we can focus on pursuing that purpose and overcoming the things that we need to overcome. There's a lot of people who are paralyzed by the use of devices. And so I really like to harp on the fact that if we want to refocus our focus, we've got to remove those things that are just in the way. I had a friend who had said, yes, I'm going to read your book. And she was on her device and felt like God was saying, hey, you know, get off this. You told your friend you were going to read your book. And she ended up going to do it. And in the first chapter, she realized this, I needed this. This is where I needed to be because she's been dealing with some difficult stuff. And so the more we can remove, whether it's, regardless of what it is, whether it's a device or if there's something else that we know is stealing our time over making ourselves healthier and working on the purpose God has for us, we've got to start minimizing that.
Yeah, I like that. It's back kind of to the analysis. I teach a series on the ABCs of success, and A stands for assess things and assign them a value. And I think what happens in so much of life is that we go forward and we're not assessing. We're just rolling.
Yeah.
No focus, because how can you focus? You've got all these distractions all over the place.
Yeah.
And so it takes a concerted effort to actually choose what you're going to do, how long you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, all of that. And you maybe haven't even been doing that for a while. You've just been letting life roll over you. Uh-huh. But it really helps in every way to get focused.
Yeah. Well, and before you know it, like the time that goes by, you don't even recognize. So One of the questions that I do ask in my workshops, when we've identified what it is that's paralyzing them, I then have them write down how many years they've been struggling with it.
Wow.
And then I have them divide that by their age to give them the percent of life that they've been struggling. And what you ended up is people have struggled for more than half their life. There's been 75% of their life. There's stupid things. Like I was paralyzed with unfinished house projects that were driving me absolutely bonkers for 10% of my life. So I was going bonkers for 10% of my life when I didn't have to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It changes. It really does change things to actually focus, and decide what's important to you and focus on that. So how do you get uncomfortable, or how do you get comfortable with the uncomfortable? None of us want to even think about that, right? We just want Jesus to take away all the discomfort and Jesus make me comfortable.
Yes. Yes. So if you really look at people who are on physical journeys of overcoming paralysis, there's absolutely nothing comfortable about the process. It's extremely painful. There is nothing comfortable about it. But if you look at the back end of it and what it is that they're aiming to do, and that's to be able to move again, the benefit of it outweighs any of the pain that you go through along the way. And I feel we need to adopt this in our life and not focus so much on the pain that we're in as we're trying to overcome it, but look at what it is that we're trying to accomplish and keep our focus on that. And when you do that, then your hope changes, your belief in it changes, your faith in it changes. It's a mind changer. And I know the difference between, you know, in physical journeys, that's not necessarily a choice that they make. They're put in that situation where that's the only mindset that they can turn to. Well, we need to put ourselves in that situation where we tell ourselves we don't have a choice. We have to work on overcoming this and just go through the grind of getting it done, because the end game, and it's not just about getting past it, it's about what God has in store for us after. Like I look at how much my life has changed. I can tell you 100% that the old me, if you were to tell the old me about what the new me is doing right now, they would laugh in your face and say, nope, not that girl. That's not the case. And just how far that I've come. I mean, that end game, it's just absolutely worth the pain that it took to get here. 100%.
The verse that's coming to my mind was, as we look back at the crucifixion of Christ, and it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." Jesus wasn't like having a happy dance at all during the crucifixion. It was torture, literal torture. And he hated it.
Yep.
He hated it. But for the joy set before him of redeeming me, redeeming you, redeeming us.
Yeah.
Then he said, "For this cause, I will endure this. I will go through this."
So it comes around full circle, Marnie, because we talked about me being told he will be healed. There is a passage in it's Matthew 8:5. Sorry, 5:8. Sorry, I'm having a mind blank, but it's when the paralyzed servant in Capernaum, he was the paralyzed servant of a Roman officer. The Roman officer came to him and said, you know, my servant's paralyzed.
He came to Jesus.
Yeah. And he came to him and Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." He was saying he will be healed. And in my mind, this is something that we all need to adopt, because the reality is that there is, and I write about this one in the book, so you'd have to dig in, but the use of paralysis in the Bible is metaphorical. It is not just about physical paralysis. It is representing, if you truly look at how those stories play out, they're representing those of us that are spiritually, mentally, emotionally bound. And those things are what Jesus took to the cross for him. So he was seeing the very, you know, he was focused on the joy as he was carrying this paralysis stuff that we keep carrying around, and we don't have to, because it's already at the foot of the cross. It's been there this whole time. We just have to give it over to him and not carry that burden and that chain anymore. And I will tell you that Jesus, when the Roman officer heard Jesus say that, and he said, "You know, you're not worthy to come into my home. Just say the words, and I know he will be healed." He believed this. He didn't even know Jesus. He was not a disciple. Like, this was probably a first meeting. He believed that Jesus's words could heal. And if we take that same mindset, that the word of God and everything that's within it is our healing, then we already have the tools to be able to overcome and walk again in our life. We don't need anything else.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, so how do you step into the freedom that's available to you right now?
You make the decision to give it to God. For sure. I mean, that's the first step. I mean, obviously you have to go through a process of identifying what those things are that are holding you back from your freedom. And that's where, you know, taking that time to really analyze your life and look at it. It can be scary and people want to avoid it, and it's understandable. But again, if they do it with the mindset that there's something that's greater beyond it, but then we've got to give it to God, and we've got to ask people to surround us. There was a paralyzed man in Capernaum that was healed. Four of his friends carried him on a mat. They dug a hole through a roof to get him to Jesus. And it was not him doing it alone. And we can't expect to do it alone either. We need to surround ourselves with the people who will carry us. We've got to connect with, if it's pastors, if it's coaches, if it's, you know, good friends or family. That's where once we tell people I'm on this mission to overcome this, then we're on our journey to freedom.
I love that. So how do you start moving again? You've been stuck for a long time.
So ultimately it's making the decision that you're not going to be stuck anymore. And I think that one of the biggest things that you can do though, is give yourself the grace of baby steps. I'm certain that when the paralyzed man in Capernaum stood up and walked again, there was probably some missteps. And at the end of the day, he still walked away, a new man who's found freedom in being able to move again. And we also have to give ourselves, we got to make the choice to step forward and move out of this, but we need to give ourselves grace, step by the missteps that we make, but ultimately be on the journey with God. We've got to be on that path with him, the us path or the me path, doing it alone. It ain't working. That's why you're paralyzed.
So I have not talked to you in advance about this, but I want us to have an honest conversation for just a few minutes right here.
Sure.
About just the fact that sometimes God does not choose to heal someone right in the moment. That healing, I believe for a believer, for a Christian who has Jesus Christ inside of us, I believe that we're all going to be perfectly healed when we get to heaven.
Yes.
Healing,
yes.
Healing is yours. You've got the healing. Jesus paid for it on the cross. It's a matter of when you're going to receive that healing.
Yes.
Whatever's wrong with us. So for those of you who are listening and you are stuck right now in a wheelchair, I think of John Erickson Tana.
Yep.
Who totally has believed for complete healing her whole life. And God has not given it to her.
Yes.
He left her in a wheelchair. And we aren't saying that you just get to pick which day you get to stand up and walk. We're not saying that. We're saying that you get to pick which God you're putting your faith in today.
Yep. And you know, there's nothing that I have more just feelings for than those who are on difficult physical journeys, whether it be paralysis or some other physical battle. And I think that we all know the way that life plays out. Even if I'm paralyzed from, you know, something bad that happened to me in the past, I can't change what happened to me in the past, but I can change how I deal with it. And how I journey through that difficulty. And that's ultimately the message of what the paralyzed movement is. And that applies to physical or psychological battles. If there's a physical journey and your healing isn't coming, you still get the opportunity to choose to navigate it in a way that makes you feel healthy, makes you still feel joy. Makes the fruit of the Spirit shine through. I will never tell anyone to not continue having faith because I believe in it too. My husband, he's still his right hand. It's his, what we call our final frontier. So he's not fully healed. He still has plenty of issues that he's got going on too. But it's really how the journey is taken.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we clarified this for those absolutely. Of you who are in the midst of something and God has not miraculously intervened for you yet. And, you know, I think years ago, I understood that a Pharisee is someone who wants to get everything all perfect and look very wonderful and have everybody know how great they are. That's a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But a saint is someone who wants to trust God fully, receive from him every gift that he wants to give, walk through every challenge and valley and mountaintop with him, giving him the glory. And there's a big difference between those two motivations.
Yes.
And I know that your heart and what you share in your book is about growing in our dependence on God as he frees us from those things that have held us back.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's about the purpose that is at the end of the game. I think that God uses our struggles in beautiful, amazing, positive ways. And it's staying focused on not just the freedom that we can achieve, but also how can we use that freedom that we've been given to go bless somebody else with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can't give away what we don't have. So our healing in Christ is first when we let him change us from the inside out. Just love that so much. I want to encourage you guys to check out Amanda's new book, The Paralyzed Movement. And also head over to her website called AmandaMotivates.com. When they get there, Amanda, what are they going to find?
I would love to have you guys come visit me. So on my website, I have information on my speaking services, my coaching services. I have a blog as well. And then also I have a free journal download that is for kind of navigating this paralyzed journey. And so I would just encourage you guys, it's really pretty. I would encourage you guys, if you want to download that free journal, it goes great alongside the journey through the paralyzed movement.
Awesome. And in the paralyzed movement, maybe just let people know, what kind of a book is that? Is it a storybook? Is it a Bible study? What are they going to get in that book?
So it is, as it stands right now, I do have plans of creating a study guide, because the greatest feedback I've gotten is like, this should be a Bible study. And I do have questions at the end of each chapter to get people thinking, that those have been some of the most beneficial things for the people who have navigated it. But it's really a little bit of testimony, both from my side, but also stories of women who have overcome some pretty significant paralyzing things and just their victories that they found. And then, of course, the tidbits and the tips on how do we start to overcome it, and what are the things that we need to do to journey. And then I have funny, goofy, I'm a weird person, so you'll find plenty of weird along the way.
That's just awesome. So you guys want to be sure to check that out over at AmandaMotivates.com. And of course, she's available to speak through WomenSpeakers.com. So you want to check out her profile over there too. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Marnie.
Thanks. And you guys, thanks for being here. We'd love to have you with us when we're sharing these live and on Blog Talk Radio as well. So hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.